Turn with me to Romans chapter 14, verse 19. We're going to read the verse that we started with last week. And we're going to continue in the thought of our mission statement, Living Christ. As we are preparing this morning to share the continuation of living in Christ, last week we talked about the encouragement of one another. We are edifying one another. We see the importance of that as we come together and we're building each other up, growing in Christian wisdom and piety and happiness and holiness. It's something that we must do together. It's something that we do in faithfulness to the Lord that He's called us to come together and to worship. So today we're going to get in to point number two, if you will. We are all at different levels of spiritual growth in life's journey. So I'm going to start with reading of Romans chapter 14, verse 19, and let's just read that verse together once again. It says, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we enter into the reading and the preaching of your word, we pray for your spirit to open our hearts and our minds that we will faithfully follow and obey you. But more than that, we'll have an understanding of the foundation and the blessings of your forgiveness, your love, and your mercy, and your salvation, that it begins to change every part of us and everything about us, that we may come to a fullness of knowing who you are, being an example of the glories of who you are, and that we would live that out in testimony to those that are around us. Lord, we need to get mad and we need to throw some radios, but we need to do so for the glory of your name. We don't get mad about much of anything anymore. But Lord, may we get upset about the glory of your name, and may it start right here in our hearts and our home. We ask this in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. You know, as Brother Mike was sharing with us the story of that hymn that we're singing, sometimes we get upset about things. But do we get upset about the right things? Do you get upset in the drive-thru when they don't put pickles on your burger and you wanted pickles? I've seen some people get very upset over a hamburger. Now, I think if we would all dig deep and we would understand, that's not what they were angry about. That's where it came out, right? That's where the anger came out. Where does it get to a point that we get upset and want to defend the glory and the name of Christ? We do so by living it. We do so by demonstrating it. Now, you know, I wish that I could say I got upset and something really productive come out of it. I have to cheer his wife on. Say, well, quit being mad and go do something about it. You know, we need those prods, don't we? This is your prod, okay? Do you know what a prod is? Ranchers use it. Cattlemen use it. It's a little shocking stick. They use it to move the cattle along because they're big. They're lumbersome. And can we just be honest? They don't know what you want them to do. So you have to prod them along. I don't have a cattle prod today. Praise the Lord. Someone might take it away from me and use it on me. Rightly so. But my prod is to challenge you today. And I've said it over and over, and I hope that it sticks in your head. Ministry here at Lindsay Lane is only as good as your commitment is to it. Now, we don't do ministry. We surrender to it. We surrender to the Lord Jesus. And He uses us. He transforms us. But we're going to find out today. Today we're going to talk about, in our mission statement, I want to read that to you one more time. Living. We read the verse of Romans chapter 14, verse 19. But then it goes on and says, the Bible calls on Christians to be actively engaged in growing and maturing. Sanctification is a progressive outworking of the grace that is in every believer and is a lifelong endeavor. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a moment, and I want us to go to point two. We are all at different levels of spiritual growth in life's journey. Did you notice in a mission statement it said that we're all to be participants? We're not to be spectators. Can you appreciate that today? In our society, we have become professional spectators. We watch everything going on around the world. We watch everything that's happening. We watch natural disasters. We watch riots. We watch revivals. We watch all kinds of things that are going on all around us. But what do? We observe. God is saying, I'm not asking you to come to church and observe. I'm coming you to ask you to come and grow in me. Amen? And so how do we do that? Well, I'm glad you ask. We go by a process of growing to become more like Christ. That is our ultimate goal in life, as believers. Romans 8, he reminds us, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So therefore, he wants us to be and live more like Christ. So there's two terms that I want us to talk about. In the mission statement, it talks about sanctification. But we can't hardly talk about sanctification without talking about justification. Justification is a legal term, more or less. It is a declaration of God in which that he pardons the sinner of all of our sins and accepts the accounts the sinner as righteous in God's sight. So when we look at all those things, we understand the theology of that. We understand, you know, we try to memorize these things, we remember these things. Okay, I'm justified before Christ. Well, how do I know that is true? Well, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, he gives us the authoritative word of why that is a reality for the child of God. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, here's something that's interesting, is that in Colossians, he's going back and saying that, remember, at one time, you were dead in your trespasses. Without Jesus, we are spiritually dead, we are spiritually undone, and because of our sin, we are separated from God. So therefore, we are unable to live for Jesus. Now, something, folks, we really must understand is that people, many claim to be Christians, but only Jesus can make us Christian. Only Jesus can make us alive. Only Jesus can make us whole. Only Jesus can make us live. Are you with me? Some people get very upset about that. Well, you're telling me that I can't do good things. According to God's word, we cannot. That's not my recommendation, but that is my surrender, that that's what Jesus told me, and that's what made me come to him for salvation. How about you? Yes. If we could have done it on our own, then we would have no need for Jesus. And in much the same way that we should be very passionate to say, of course we need him. To suggest that we can live without him is dangerous, right? But look at some of the phrases that he says. He has forgiven you all trespasses. Isn't it great that his salvation is complete? His forgiveness is full and free? Unfortunately, we're living in a day and age that it seems as though if I don't pay for it, then it must not be any good. And so sometimes we think that, well, salvation is free, then it must not be worth much. Actually, just the opposite. In the spiritual realm, it was free because you couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford it. A multitude of eternal lifetimes we could never pay the price that it cost for our salvation. Do you understand that? That is why the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross is so central to all that we are. It is so important that he was willing to go and pay that price. Now, here's another metaphor that he uses here, that he nailed it to the cross. Isn't that interesting? What does it mean that he nailed it to the cross? He said he wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He's talking about the law. The law was speaking against us because of our sin. We're guilty. We're doomed. And the sentence was lowered and says, you're condemned. But then he says, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. What does that mean? Well, it's a metaphor that he's using, that when they would hang one on the cross, they would take all the charges of what he was guilty of, and they would nail it to the cross with him, the criminal. What did they nail on the cross when Jesus hung on the cross? The King of the Jews. King of the Jews. And they did it in multiple languages so everyone would know the crime that he was being charged with. But the scripture goes on and says, oh no, he was charged with much more that day. Each and every one of our sins he was charged with. And he took that. And interestingly, it says, the soldiers didn't nail that to the cross, but Jesus did. Amen? He said that he took our sin. He knew the price. He knew what was going to take place. And he took it willingly, but he took our punishment once and for all. He was the criminal. Yet innocent, he became the criminal so that we, the guilty, might go free. And because of his death is the very basis of our justification. It's not because of what I've done or what I might do or might actually accomplish one day, but rather what Jesus has done perfectly upon the cross of Calvary. So now it brings us to the word sanctification. Sanctification is the progressive working of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and like Christ in our actual lives. So when we talk about this, the justification was something that only God could do. But sanctification is actually something that he calls upon us to submit, to surrender, and to cooperate with him. So that's why we find many people at different levels of growth. Sometimes you can even find a couple people that were saved on the same day, and yet 10, 15 years later, you find they're at different areas of growth. Why? Because of the process of sanctification. So does that mean, well, then God wasn't able to work in one or the other? It was actually the surrender of each individual in the working of the Spirit in them. So do you see why I keep saying that ministry here at Lindsay Lane is only as good as your sanctification is to the Lord Jesus? Are you with me? There's no pastor that can change that. There's no pastor that can make you do that. You understand? It's based upon our submission to the Lord Jesus and his work and what he's trying to do in you. Whether we're ignoring him, trying to, I'm not listening, I don't want to know. Or it's like, yes, Lord, I need you. You know what I need to do. But I'm just struggling here. Can you relate? Well, how is it that we have a knowledge of this sanctification process? How is it that we know that he's transforming us and working in our minds, our wills, and our affections? How do we know? Romans chapter 6, verse 5, he goes in and he says, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." I want to stop there for just a moment. We just talked about justification right there. Okay? We're justified in him because he died for us. And not just dying for us, but now Paul says, "But I want you to also consider that you have died with him." And so we're going to get to that here in just a second. So in verse 8 he says, "Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." Right? So if we become a child of God, we've died to the old man, so therefore, logic would consider that we're going to live different. Amen? It's not out of a have to, but it's like, glory to God that I can overcome sin. I can be delivered from this. I can be a child of God, and he used me. Are you with me, church? Verse 9, "Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him." You see the glory of the resurrection? It culminates all that he said and that he would do. "For the death that he died to sin once and for all." He finished it. It's done. "But the life that he lives to God." He's setting the example for us to follow. "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you see why you cannot please God, you cannot live for God, you cannot be a child of God without Jesus? Can't be done. There is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life to be had but Jesus and the work that he has accomplished. Verse 12, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." You see the victory that we have? You realize as a child of God, every day of obedience is a day of victory. Every decision that you turn from sin and turn to God is another victory and a testimony of God's great grace and the salvation that He brings. Sanctification is an ongoing process that is working in and through our lives on a daily basis and an ongoing basis. So you see, the salvation process has already been had, has already been secured. But as we comply with the Spirit of God, surrendering to the Word of God, He continues to grow us more and more in the maturing of following the Lord Jesus. Let me show you some comparisons that really did help me. I like little charts and things like that, and I think this will help you. When we talk about justification, first of all, we're talking about the legal standing. That's why we talk about the security of the believer. We're secured. The Lord Jesus has shed His blood, paid our penalty, and when we trust in Him, we place our faith in Him, then He immediately secures us by putting a label on us, a seal upon us, and that is the Holy Spirit. And then He begins to wash us and change us and cleanse us with the washing of the Word. The Word of God begins to change us, but it is a process that we continue to grow. Because when we come to the Lord Jesus, we stand forgiven, but yet we turn around and we have some of those same past desires of the flesh and things that we've introduced into our lives, and the drawing continues to come, but yet He says, but now you're My child. You have died to that. You don't have to do that anymore. And we can follow Him rejoicing, but let's be honest, sometimes we fail in that flesh and we have to return. But whatever that process is that we come back to the Father over and over again. And as we continue to grow and mature, and we see sanctification as an internal condition. Where am I with the Father? Am I faithfully following? Am I fully surrendered? So then justification, the next one is, once and for all time. Justification happens at one time. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about placing our faith in the Lord Jesus. You're going to see a change in heart and mind. You're going to see a break away from sin. But then in sanctification, we see a continuous process throughout life. We're growing more and more toward God. We're saying yes to God and no to sin. And that begins to fluctuate over time. Justification is entirely God's work. It's something that only He could do and accomplish. And we see in sanctification is based upon our cooperation. Justification is perfect in this life because it's secured in Him. It's secured in Christ. Our sanctification is not perfect because we have yet to be given our glorified body. We're still living in the flesh. And so we continue to battle. We continue to fight. We continue to strive and seek God's Word and His Spirit in us. And then in justification, the same is in all Christians. You become a child of God, you're a child of God. It's by faith, believing, trusting in Jesus, not by works, but by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus alone will bring salvation. So it's the same message, same process. Even those that were in the Old Testament look to the Messiah to come, the same Jesus. But in sanctification, it may be greater in some than others. Why? Because of the surrender, a faithful surrender. Salvation begins at regeneration. You'll see those sins and wrong thinking being changed. In Romans, he told us that likewise you reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, sometimes we want to blame other things around us. We want to blame that even we want to blame Satan himself. But in reality, we are free in the Lord Jesus. You know, it all depends upon who we're yielding ourselves to. And he tells us there right in Romans chapter 6, 12 and 13, he says, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. We make that choice, don't we? Each and every day, each and every decision we make. We may grow in faithfulness, or we may grow indifferent toward God. The choice is ours. I want to jump down to our last point. May all of our words and actions bring honor to Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. Now, this is the last part of our mission statement. It just talked about that living the Christian life is made possible through the Word, the Spirit of God, and believers kindly caring for one another. Every aspect of the Christian's life is to be done to the glory of God. Folks, I think this is one of our keys. We need to stay focused. It's so easy to run around and enjoy life and enjoy all that we want and completely neglect our purpose. It's even possible for us to try and reinvent ourselves when there's a Creator who has made you, called you, and saved you, and predestined you to a purpose, bringing glory to His name. And exhaust yourselves, avoiding the very purpose that God has called you to. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, this title speaks of His children, those who have accepted Him. Look at how He describes us. Holy and beloved. Some of you might be thinking, well, I'm not that holy. But according to the justification of the Lord Jesus, the finished work upon the cross, yes, you are His. He has made you holy. And beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. See what He's calling us to? But sometimes this is easy, isn't it? When we love each other, it's easy to give when it's coming back, right? But He tells us to love unconditionally. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Why is it the bond of perfection? Because it is the very character of God. It is what has brought us to life. It is what has brought us together, is the love of God. And so therefore, we should exercise that love. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I want to touch on these two here. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, that which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Then He says again, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Before I go on, I want you to look at that. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We choose to trust in the Lord Jesus. As everything is falling down around us, whatever may be, the peace of God remains because it's eternal. But then He says also, let the Word dwell in you. Folks, one of the biggest challenges I think that are facing us today and our coming generations is there is no discipline of anything. There's no discipline of self. There's no discipline of thought. There's no discipline in the workplace. That's why when you pull up to the drive-thru and you're waiting for your food, they're playing on their phones and they're talking together and they're doing this and they're doing that. And you think, my goodness, am I ever going to get my food and get back to work? We go into the communities. One crime is just ignored and other petty crimes are so-called punished, if you will. Do you see the trend? As God's people, if we don't discipline ourselves in reading and studying of the Word of God and the teaching and the admonishing of God's Word, where's the peace going to come from? Where's the maturity going to come from? Where's the joy going to come from? Where's the wisdom going to come from? We may think that we're going to develop on our own. We cannot. Folks, there are no shortcuts to sanctification. There's no quick recipes. There's no instant, put water in it, throw it in a microwave, it's done. This is a lifelong commitment of surrendering ourselves to the Lord on a daily basis, step by step, decision by decision. And He says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I want to ask you a few questions this morning before we have our prayer time. Can you remember in your own experiences the definite beginning when you made a commitment to the Lord Jesus? I'm not just talking about that, yeah, I come and I ask Jesus to forgive me my sins all the time. I'm asking if you have come in faith and realized the consequences of your sin, the punishment of your sin, and realize that Jesus is the only one that can save you and change you. And at that point in place, that when you knelt in prayer, that you expressed in repentance, sorrowful over your sin, and expressed that to God and asked for forgiveness, not just for that day, but to change you for the rest of your life and to follow Him. Did you see a clear break from the ruling of power of sin in your life? Do you remember the joy that you had, the freedom that you enjoyed in Christ? Is that just as vibrant today as it was then? Have you been growing? Can you look over the last year or so? And can you say that I'm consistently growing in service and spiritual maturity and holiness in my Christian life? Are you growing more sensitive to the Spirit? Did you know that you can ignore the Spirit to the point that you become almost calloused? When we respond to Him, we become more sensitive. When we ignore, we become calloused. Can you see the importance of living out your faith in community as we are here at Lindsay Lane today with other believers to encourage, to learn, to teach, and ultimately to bring glory to God? How many of you are here like me today and can see areas in my life that I need to grow? Are there any of you here today? Are you searching for that closeness that you once had? Or maybe just to grow to a point that you truly understand what God is wanting for you in your life, in your home, in your workplace. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. Look at the person next to you. Find somebody around you and tell them, I want to grow in sanctification. Can you do that? Look at somebody. Tell them, I want to grow in sanctification. If you need to move and find somebody, go tell somebody. Run them down. Tell them, I want to grow in sanctification. Now I'm going to ask you, take a hand of that person if you're still there, and let's pray together that we'll all seek to grow in sanctification with the Lord together today. Are you willing to do that with me? See, it's great when we do it like this. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not saying, oh, I'm pointing anybody out, because we're all in this together, amen? Wherever you are is our responsibility. If you're on a mountaintop, it's our responsibility. If you're struggling, it's all our responsibility. You know why? Because we're one body in Christ. Okay? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. This will be our dismissal prayer. And let's just give the Lord our hearts today. But more than that, let's give Him tomorrow. Let's give Him Tuesday, all the way through to Friday. Say, God, we want to grow and bring glory to Your name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the justification that You have brought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, His sinless and perfect blood, forgiving us of our sin, paying our sin debt, that it will never come back to us again. It has been sealed, it has been completed, and it is fully paid, never to be brought back again. Lord, we thank You. We praise You. Oh, what glory You have given us. What joy You have poured out upon us. And at what great price it came to Your Son Jesus. But Lord, we ask, and now we have a process as we've come and trusted in You. Now we've got to live this out. Lord, that's probably the hardest part. We'd rather just come home. We'd rather just be done. But Lord, we see that there's a great amount of glory that is due to Your name. And that comes through our life. That comes through our struggling with the flesh and allowing Your Spirit to do great things through us and bringing great victories that we never thought was possible. But yet, as You live in and through us, others will begin to see their need for Jesus. Oh, Lord, I know it's laborious. I know it's difficult. But Lord, You're worth it. You're worthy of it. So Lord, as we have expressed to one another today, Lord, we want to grow in sanctification. Not that others will look around at us and say, oh, what a great Christian. But Lord, our focus is You. Our goal is You. And that all glory will go to You. Help us to be the people that will sing praises to You. But more than that, that we will demonstrate it to those that are lost in a dark world that they may see. Lord, we love you. We thank you. May you empower each and every one that's made a commitment to you today. And strengthen their hearts. Strengthen their resolve that we will follow you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Bless you, church. We love you.